you know what time it is. We can let down our hair. The moon is high and we're lunatics now. It's deep into safe harbor. It's Dark 30. I'm Vance Pollock on behalf of Joshua P. Warren, and now is the time you should turn off your radio if you don't want to hear some potentially outrageous material, because this is when we kick back, down a shot of hard liquor, and try to have some fun. And I'll be your creepy guide across the river Styx.
Abandon all hope.
My business is keeping the boys warm. In the studio with producer Sam the Animal Steele and investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop and Nevermore Mystical Arts. How's everything over at the coin shop, Miss Shelley D. Wright?
So very, very crazy busy. There is so much going on. There are so many coins to buy.
It's a Christmas rush, isn't it?
It is. It is. But we still have so much. So if you think, oh, no, I won't stop by there because there's nothing left. Oh, there's stuff left. There's fabulous stuff left.
Because coins are coming and going. People are buying them as gifts, and people are also selling from their collections to get a little extra Christmas money. And
yes,
you encourage that, right?
I do.
If we've got SOS listeners who have, put away a little bit of a silver and gold, as Burl Ives sang, bring it on down to Wright's Coin Shop, cash it in for some negotiable U.S. currency, and do your Christmas shop, and don't run those credit cards up.
Right, right.
Can we get Bitcoin?
No.
No.
Any witchy or weird sort of tokens come through in the last little bit?
You know, anything that comes through like that, the guys make sure that I get them. Greg makes sure.
Oh, yeah.
Greg and my dad, they make sure that I get stuff like that.
Greg Capps, another great numismatist.
Yes.
At Wright's Coin Shop. Greg's been with you guys for years, right?
He has.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. I mean, they're such a family, such a neighborhood business. I mean, Greg's wife was my son's school teacher.
Really?
Last year. I mean, we're part of the community. Wright's Coin Shop is a community business. I mean, they're not some fly-by-night outfit, sell us your gold sort of thing. They give you fair market value on that stuff. It's true, Christian. They do.
He loves coming in.
Christian thinks he's Christian McLeod and Daniel Hurst joining us, and they're brave enough. They've decided they're gonna sit through the Dark 30 hour. They're brave. Just
That's brave.
Christian likes to pick on you a little bit, Shelley.
He does.
We haven't played your theme song yet. What's that theme song, Christian?
That would be so dangerous.
Shelley, dangerous. Right.
Yes.
It just fits.
Nevermore. Mystical art, which people are only going to be able to stroll in there, 1271 Sweeten Creek Road. It's right next to the coin shop.
Right.
But this week, they need to do that this week.
They
right?
do. They need to do this week. Because
Come by the coin shop, stop in Nevermore, and buy some gifts, because you got a lot of reduced price merchandise. You're going to close the physical door and open the cyber portal.
Yes,
in a big way.
So excited about it.
Can I just, for those of you who have never been to Nevermore, it is a very nice shop. I mean, she did it up right. I'm kind of sad to see it close. I understand why you're doing it.
Right.
But I'm kind of sad to see it close, because, I mean, it's a really nice place. I mean, you have the top of the line stuff in there, and I don't think they're going to be able to find that anywhere else in this town.
They won't. I mean, they'll have to go online to nevermoremysticalarts.com to find it, but I feel like I have a much better opportunity to present these things. And also, you know, not all the Speaking of Strange listeners can come into Nevermore. I know that they want to, but, you know, not everybody can make a road trip.
Right.
But, hey, you know,
they're not dedicated.
I mean, there's a lot of extra man hours, or lady hours in this case, devoted to just commuting to work and holding the fort down day in, day out.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah,
when the weather is nasty, it's getting to be wintertime, and you're sitting in there, waiting for a handful of customers. When your time is better spent doing the research online, keeping your inventory available for everybody, convenience. I mean, there really is a convenience factor to shopping online, but people need to avail themselves of this last opportunity to set foot in what has been a beautiful shop. And you
Thank
did
you.
It, Shelley. You had a brick and mortar
I did.
Paranormal boutique
yes.
for a year. And you're still in the retail end of it. You're still going
to
be
am.
Retailing.
Just
online.
I feel like I'm going to be able to be a better service to people online. And also, it's going to give me more time to be able to do the things that I do, to investigate, to, you know, do all of those other things that are going on in my life. Stop it. to do all of those other things that are going on in my life that I don't have time for.
And there have been hints that there may be a custom line of products.
Oh yeah, I've already tested out something on friends. You don't know about this yet, friend. And they're clamoring for it. They're like, "What? Where is it? We need some now." And it's just something that I've had available to friends for short. You know, I make short batches.
These boys in
they
here
are naughty.
They are bad, aren't they? It's like having Joshua P. Warren back in the studio.
I know.
I'll take that as a compliment.
I mean, less dirty.
Yeah, only a little less dirty, but not for long because it is the Speaking of Strange hour. And you know what you got to do? You got to chase the kids out of the room.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you blush easily, you might just want to tune out. We gave you two really good hours with Daniel and Christian, and now we're going to give you one bottom of the barrel hour. But if you have sort of a voyeuristic instinct for the foul and the disturbing, yeah, sometimes it's like a good train wreck. It's hard to look away. A woman claims she had sex with 20 ghosts and prefers them to men. Now her apparition aspiration is to get pregnant.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be happening.
A woman in Bristol, England really likes spirited lovemaking, and only ghosts need apply. Amethyst Realm. What kind of name is that? Amethyst
name
Realm.
Is that?
A 27-year-old spirit guidance counselor. Spiritual guidance counselor.
A spirit guidance counselor or spiritual?
Spiritual guidance counselor.
I've never heard of that.
Quote unquote spiritual guidance counselor. Says she's had sex with at least 20 ghosts. She prefers them to men.
Okay, I'm throwing down the hooey card.
She appeared on the British TV show ITV this morning on Thursday to discuss what being ghosted, quote unquote, is really like. She got ghosted.
See, I've been ghosted before, but not like that.
Oh, is ghosted kind of like the stranger when you put your
hand to someone? No. Ghosted is where a girl just disses you and disappears.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's happened to me.
That kind of ghosting. The first experience was 12 years ago. She said after she and her then fiance moved into a new house and she felt the presence of a strange entity. HuffPost could not reach Realm for comment. Amethyst Realm. I'm not getting around that one too much. It started as an energy, then became physical. There was pressure on my thighs and breath on my neck. I just always felt safe. I had sex with the ghost. You can feel it. It's difficult to explain. There was a weight and a weightlessness, a physical breath and stroking, and the energy as well. She says she had an affair with a ghost for 3 years. Then it ended when her human husband came home from work early and saw the shadowy shape of a man through the window.
What?
Amethyst Realm. Having sex with ghosts since 19... I don't know.
That's a whole new arena I have not explored yet.
Ghost sex, it's kind of a hot topic, though.
I mean, I'll try anything twice.
Fantorgasmics. There's a whole lot about that. I think our friend Timothy Green Beckley, you know Tim Beckley, are you familiar with him? Tim Beckley, I think, has written considerable.
Are you saying that Tim Beckley has had sex with ghosts?
Mr. UFO has had sex with ghosts. If it'll sell books, he has. Let's get him on the line. Tim, have you had sex with any ghosts? Usually you don't hear of guys getting to have the sex with female ghosts. It's usually women claiming to have had sex
with male
ghosts.
What about possessed people?
Is it succubus
having
a ghost?
Sex with possessed people?
No, I mean, like what if, I mean, that's like, I'm trying to think of things that are somewhat relatable.
Okay.
You know, like a ghost, I'm not going to say it's not true or it couldn't happen, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, possessed people.
Right.
And, like, what if you were having sex with somebody and it wasn't who you thought it was? Because they were possessed by somebody else.
Would that be a three-way?
Sleep paralysis. It's a phenomenon, and if you've ever had sleep paralysis, it's pretty terrifying. You ever had anything like sleep paralysis?
I did take some medication once.
You feel like you've come wide awake, but you can't budge a muscle. Yeah. You cannot move.
I can feel myself.
It's absolutely terrifying.
It's like you woke up
in the morning and your eyes are wide open, but you can't. You just cannot move, and it's a real phenomenon. Some people
suffer from it. '90s,
the entire decade.
Florida,
yeah.
Sleep paralysis. Bring that sound bite up to
sleep paralysis. I get where you're headed with this, Sam. While some people may not have experienced what they interpret as sex with ghosts, they may have experienced.
Are you talking about Bill Cosby?
Weird things.
No,
I think she just drank NyQuil.
Oh man, oh.
She had a NyQuil coma and then she had some weird vivid dreams.
NyQuil comas.
That'll do it.
Yeah,
that'll do it. Oh well, we're barely scratching the surface. It's a dark 30 tonight. They're not all going to be naughty. Some are just going to be kind of creepy, ghouly, not good feely sort of stuff. Are you ready, Shelly?
I'm ready.
Let's dig in.
But I need a bell. Do I need a bell?
Huh?
Do I need a bell?
Yeah, we might be needing this bell right here. We'll be right back after the break. Speaking of strange... Open mic night. Speaking of strange, we got some talent in here. Christian McLeod and Daniel Hurst joining us through the Dark 30 hour, and we're not going to require you guys to chime in, but if you like, the microphone's right there. I mean, if you have any insight or elucidation to share, I'll start out with a little something light. We always want to offer the disclaimer to get out of here, but if you're across the room from the radio, just stick your fingers in the ear and hum until you can get over there and kick the plug out of the wall. Waffle House customer cooks his own meal after finding staff sleeping.
You know, I read that and I thought of Tiny. I would totally see Tiny doing that.
I would do that.
I know you. That's what I'm saying.
I was thinking if I had the experience as a grill cook, pizza parallels. If I went into a Pizza Hut and found the staff asleep, I would go back and fix myself a pizza and put it in the oven. No doubt. No doubt whatsoever. And that's what I was wondering. First thing I thought was, okay, has this guy worked as a grill cook before? You feel right at home in a Waffle House. This one was in West Columbia, South Carolina. Hungry, slightly inebriated man. Slightly inebriated man. Who knew inebriated people went to Waffle House? Knew just what to do when he stopped by a Waffle House early Thursday, only to find the restaurant staff snoozing. He cooked up his own meal, snapping selfies along the way. Alex Bowen said in a Facebook post that he stopped by the Waffle House because he couldn't sleep, and the restaurant's employees didn't have the same problem. I walked back outside to my car to look for employees, smoking. No one was in sight. It wasn't until he walked back inside he noticed that an employee was asleep in the corner booth. Then it was time to go, he said. I got hot on the grill with a double Texas bacon cheesesteak with extra pickles. When I was done, I cleaned the grill, collected my ill-gotten sandwich, and rolled out. He told the paper that he wouldn't normally have gotten behind the grill, but I give all the credit to my old friend Vodka. He said he returned later to pay for the sandwich. As proof, he posted a photo on Facebook of himself smiling with a Waffle House employee. Have you seen those new camouflaged Waffle House uniforms? As if Waffle House wasn't redneck enough, now they got camouflaged uniforms. Yeah. In a statement released to the paper, Waffle House spokesperson said employees reached out to Bowen to apologize. That is the employees apologizing to him, not asking him to apologize, and that the employee photographed by Bowen while sleeping in one of the booths had been suspended for a week for safety reasons. Quote from Waffle House spokesperson, "Our customers should never have to go behind the counter," the statement said. "Rather, they should get a quality experience delivered by friendly associates. We are reviewing this incident and will take appropriate disciplinary action." That's a kind of a feel-good story. That's kind of like a dream come true. Wouldn't you like the freedom of being able to just walk into a restaurant and run it?
No.
No, I want somebody to make my hash browns.
I would like the satisfaction of getting back there. And,
I think that I've been there enough that I probably could whip up a pretty decent omelet.
Well, at least you know no one's spitting your eggs.
Did you hear this? It's a slightly different flavor than scattered, smothered, covered, and chunked. But a man walking his dog on a British Columbia beach this past week made... Why is it I never make the grisly discovery? It's always somebody else making the grisly discovery. He found a foot in a shoe along with part of a lower leg. Now, that would be odd enough, except this is the 13th foot to wash up on the same beach in British Columbia over the past decade. And they did analyze it. They are human remains. The coroner's service said that all previous 12 feet were human. They identified 8 of them and determined that they belonged to 6 individuals. So they found 13 feet, but only 8 have been identified. And why do these feet keep washing up in British Columbia?
That's strange. I mean, that's right out of one of these crime shows. You know, I've seen that plot line before. Where a foot in a shoe
always
washes
a guy who's but seen everything.
Not, I mean, it's NCIS or whatever, but it's based on an actual legitimate thing: feet and legs washing up on the beach. Any explanation for?
No explanation at the moment. But this was another one that I found kind of interesting, because I'm like, how did they find out about this crime, is what I wanted to know. A surgeon in England pled guilty to marking his initials on the livers of 2 patients while performing transplant surgery. Now, I assume that even surgeons would get, you know, you get bored after a while doing a job, and you have to entertain yourself.
Was it just his guilty conscience, or was he bragging?
I don't even know.
There were complications.
He got charged with 2 counts of assault by beating relating to incidents in February and August of 2013. He pled not guilty to the more serious charge of assault occasioning actual bodily harm. He was a renowned liver, spleen, and pancreas surgeon. He used an argon beam used to stop livers bleeding during operations to cauterize. And he used it to sign his initials into the patient's organ. Now, the marks left by argon are not thought to impair the organ's function. They'll usually disappear by themselves. But how were they even detected in the first place?
Someone must have ratted on him.
Well, there were complications. I read that story.
Oh, okay, here we go. Yeah, it's a colleague spotted the initials SB on an organ during follow-up surgery on one of his patients.
Artist always marks his art.
That's what I think. I mean,
would you be pissed?
No.
If it didn't affect anything.
If it didn't affect, no.
You know, if you want to put your initials on something, just draw something. You know, tag building. I don't know.
Would you rather them draw, like, a lewd drawing on your liver with an argon?
I would rather they leave my liver alone.
Well, they're already in there.
Well, they're already in there, but they don't have to mark it up.
It regenerates. It's not going to do anything to your liver.
Okay, all right, fine. You guys have your livers marked on. Let me put down myself for a non-marked on liver.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it is what it is. He got let go. He spoke to the press, and he said marking his initials on his patient's livers had been a mistake.
Duh.
Doctor likes to doodle. You know, I don't really feel like there's anything all that bad about it.
Hell, I mean, that's not really considering the stuff he could have done.
I would be proud. If I were a pancreas, spleen, and liver specialist,
right.
I would be proud enough of my work to want to sign off on it.
Right.
I really don't think it's such a bad thing.
I would think, you know, that, like, there's got to be some form of, trademark or something on there, like some sort of book that said, you know, like, hey, I was here, I worked on it, SB.
You know, you're right, trademarking. He's trademarking his work.
Is that such a bad thing?
No.
Okay, well then, you know, write it in a journal or something. Don't mark it on a liver.
At least he didn't get Weinstein'd.
True.
True.
It could have been worse.
Yeah.
It could have been.
Yeah, it very easily could have been. We got time to talk about the drunk possum. You've heard about drunk as a skunk, but drunk as a possum? The opossum. Use the correct spelling. We just say possum around here, but the opossum breaks into
Nobody
liquor store.
Nobody has ever said opossum.
And gets drunk as a skunk. Oh, okay. Yeah. This is in Ready Shell,
yes.
Fort Walton Beach. This possum that apparently drank bourbon after breaking into a Florida liquor store sobered up at a wildlife rescue center and was released unharmed. Emerald Coast Wildlife Refuge officials say the possum was brought in by a Fort Walton Beach officer on November 24th. A liquor store employee found the animal next to a broken and empty bottle of bourbon. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a drunk opossum in a box.
I'm not buying it.
Where's the rhyme there? That's the caption for the photo of this this little guy who obviously likes his liquor. So, good for you, Mr. Possum. You got a lot of friends up here in Asheville. If you ever swing this way, stop in for a drink. It's Joshua P. Warren speaking of Strange, and we're having a good old time here. And, saving some dark stuff for last. We'll be right back after this break.
The Nazis to attack this, and you're more optimistic than the sounds of blackness. Flip rhymes to rip through. the chest cavity, and I keep going and going just like an energizer battery. Flattery will get you nowhere unless it's the Daria, and then it gets you everywhere. Went to the flea market, was in my car parking. Deep like blunts, if you got it, then spark it. And with the fist of cum came the fist. And you joined Steven Seagal on him off a death hit list. Went back to the 70s and brothers got on grins. Cause they can step the scissors and say, slap me some skins, honey, dip. And take the squad to the TV. Hit it off, smoke a cig, watch a little TV. And if there ain't no pace, there's no show, I just chill and return to kick them in the grill.
Back to the grill again, the grill again.
Yeah.
Back to the grill again,
the
grill again. Back to the grill again, the grill again.
We gonna try like
again.
This though, What's the style while I do it? If you know it, don't you know it? If you knew it, then you knew it. If I catch a funk to it, I'ma drop the flavor fluid on his head. Yep, I do it. And like Aretha.
There it is, Dark 30. Yeah. Vance Pollock in the captain's seat. But we got some great guests in tonight, having a grand old time. And the time flies, guys. Christian, Daniel, we'll have to get you guys back in here real soon. I feel there's more stories to tell. Christian has this binder just bulging with fascinating facts. We looked through some of that Freedom of Information Act stuff you got there. I mean, the real deal. I'm like that, Christian. My favorite thing you may have gleaned is going after the paper trail. I think at least for the last, say, 100 years, there's a paper trail for just about anybody and most events, you know, especially where the law was broken or certain things you can expect to find. And like Shelley was talking about missing persons, I found that people change their names, but a lot of times they don't change their date of birth. Generally, they don't. If you can find a record of somebody who shares the same birth date as the person you're looking for and other clues, for instance, in some enlistment records for a guy who fled from Murphy, North Carolina to Canada, and joined the Canadian Army during World War II, what we found were that he listed his next of kin. He had changed their last names to match his assumed last name, but their first names were still a match. His date of birth was still a match. And what we did was we found the grandson in Canada and a sister, a much younger sibling. She's about 15 years his junior, I think, but she was an elderly woman still living in Murphy at the time. She had pictures of her brother. He had pictures of his grandfather. Same guy. And neither one knew what happened. The grandson had no idea about his grandfather's life before he was 30 or 40 years old. The sister thought her brother had just vanished. He was MIA. He was actually listed MIA. He sent a telegram from France saying, I'm coming home. And was never heard from again. But he went to Canada and started an entirely different life. Why some people disappear? Well, we found out that he had some warrants in the U.S. Oh. Yeah, he was wanted for fraud and forging checks and some things like that. And the FBI, his grandson actually got an FBI document with J. Edgar Hoover's signature on it pertaining to his grandfather. So that's pretty cool. That's like the grail. You want to find a document with J. Edgar Hoover's signature referring to your grandfather.
I mean, but is that enough to just disappear for? I mean, you know, you can always try to handle that. To me, like if he had done something like a heist or something cool, that's one thing. But he wrote a couple of bad checks and moved to Canada.
What we had was it was his arrest record, but I think there may have been more that he was never apprehended and officially charged with. I think he may have been into much bigger things.
Nefarious.
Like this lady from Shelley, are you ready?
I am ready.
This lady from Florida.
There we go.
Florida fisherman got quite a catch Tuesday. It happened to be an intoxicated 22-year-old woman instead of a prized fish. Authorities were called to the St. Johns County Pier at 6 p.m., after a fisherman said a woman bit his fishing line and swam off with his lure. The fisherman told deputies that The young woman appeared to be intoxicated. Again, duh, hard to believe. When she swam up to his fishing line, cursed at him, according to a police report, and then allegedly bit the fishing line and swam away with the rigging. That doesn't sound very safe or smart or sober. When she was asked to come to the pier office, she reportedly became belligerent and refused to walk inside. She started upsetting the sense of public norm at the pier. That's a quote, the sense of public norm. Sam, do you like to upset the sense of public norm occasionally?
I've gotten older. I mean, when I was younger, probably I was more of a rabble rouser.
I love these expressions, these official sort of expressions, upsetting the sense of public norm.
Buzzword.
Since 1971. I want that T-shirt.
We'll make it then.
Okay. Yeah, I got some of your iron-on stuff, Sam. I'll make my own T-shirt, upsetting the sense of public norm. I'm going to make my son one that says shocking the conscience, because in one of the... one of the waivers or one of the permission slips for his field trip said that even if the field trip is paid for, a student may be excluded if behavior in the meantime shocks the conscience. And so me and my son often joke about shocking the conscience. Not just shocking the monkey, but shocking the conscience.
This is an interesting story. I actually had to use Google Translate on it, as it's in German, in the Deutsch. So I will be doing a German transcription reading. There was an amusement park in Germany. It was reopened in the spring of 2017, and they had a horror hospital. And they had a fictitious horror doctor, Lehman. It was one of the many novelties, an old mansion, like, where you would go through blood-stained treatment rooms, laboratories, and a morgue with severed limbs and heads. Well, apparently, they have a cemetery on which at least one real gravestone stood on part of this horror house.
Okay.
And there was a 13-year-old from Lichtenfels had discovered the tombstone on a trip to the amusement park on which the name and the life data of her grandfather were to be seen. And it was actually her mother's father. She found the grave of her grandfather in this fictitious horror hospital as a prop.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I know how you like the gravestones.
Yeah. I mean, that would be like going to...
I saw a thing on your Facebook that it's like a proud member of gravefinder.info.
Findagrave.com. Yeah, I was celebrating my 9th anniversary on findagrave.com. Yeah, I had to stay up to midnight because I looked at my profile, just happened to look at my profile when I was logged on, and a member for... 8 years, 11 months, and 30 days. And I was like, I got to stay up till midnight. Got to ring in that 9th anniversary on Find a Grave.
Well, apparently what had happened here, reading through more of the translated Meyer, she had the grave of her husband, who passed away in 96, dissolved and commissioned a stonemason with the proper disposal. He apparently resold the headstone without removing the lettering. And so this... horror haunted house bought it, even though it was a real...
Okay, yeah. Okay.
But that'd be pretty creepy if you were, like, walking through and you saw Grandpa's grave
yeah,
at the Disney haunted, mansion or whatever.
Right. Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Good example. It would be pretty cool. But
good example, the Disney's haunted mansion. I was trying to think of something similar. They do, like, the Halloween-themed thing at Busch Gardens, Halloween Horror Nights at Busch Gardens. I was thinking like that. But, yeah, Haunted Mansion at Disney World.
That was always my favorite.
It's a good one.
Yeah, remember that little room, like, that you stood in, and, like, the pictures of the eyes would be,
yeah,
like...
I would actually like to see my grandfather's tombstone in the Haunted Mansion. I could almost make that happen because a replica of my grandfather's tombstone, they mass produce these these concrete obelisks, not really obelisks, they're small concrete stones that they just put a brass plaque in because he was a union carpenter and he's buried at the Brotherhood of Carpenters Cemetery. and they would just build these little boxes and shovel the concrete in there and make these cheap gravestones.
You
and there's
that
a whole
being carpenters, they would have spent a little more effort on it. But
most of the old retired carpenters buried there at the carpenter's home were paupers. You know,
it's like how they say the mechanics before. Don't like to work on their own car.
Yeah, this is in the days before Social Security really did much. Not that it would do much.
Does it now?
Now, yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But there was a whole stack of these pre-made gravestones, identical to that of my grandfather in the woods next to the cemetery. And I often thought I would take one home for a souvenir. And
yeah, it's probably pretty light.
No problem.
Yeah, I would have to have a friend to throw it in the back of the pickup. But
of course,
yeah.
Just get a friend and a Chevy.
I bet they're still there.
Check
this
out. Before we go to this break here, how about this? Salt Lake City, Utah. A woman who ripped a man's testicle out with her teeth has been ordered to pay the victim 500 euros, or that would be about $673, in compensation and confined at home during certain hours of the day. She's a 43-year-old woman. She must remain at home between 10 p.m. and 6 a.m. And she said she was defending herself. It seems like a pretty light fine and restrictions for ripping a testicle out with your teeth.
I'm thinking
that's
so
frightening.
Too.
Less than a grand.
Less. I mean, at that, why not just pay the fine
exactly.
And just start doing it? I mean,
make it a thing.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Is that even a thing?
Well, it is now.
It is now.
It is now.
Sam said it, so it's done.
It's like a van. It's sort of like the Holyfield.
Yeah.
Except with a testicle instead of an ear.
Well, you know.
Yeah. Sort of. Yeah, that would probably get you disqualified from a boxing match pretty quick. An internet prankster had to be freed by firefighters after cementing his head inside a microwave oven.
Dummy.
West Midlands Fire Service said it took an hour to free the man after they were called to a house where they found him... with his head cemented in it inside a microwave oven. They had to get an air tube in there to him. It would have looked pretty cool on the internet, but in retrospect, he says, "I'll not try that again."
Let's hope not.
Next time I'm going to do it with a real oven.
Yeah, think it through before you go cementing your head in a microwave. Need something a little roomier.
Like a toaster oven?
Spray foam.
Put a snorkel in there before you do it, at least.
At least some
Pam.
Pam! Some butter.
We'll be right back to shut this baby down.
So dangerous, he fights the law, but he also fights the crime, but not as much dangerous. With Ronaldo at his side, he'll have Ronaldo at his side. Dangerous. He's got some Chinese stars, and he keeps them under the bed with a leg to pipe. Dangerous. That guy is dangerous. Works alone, except when he works with Ronaldo, which is all the time. Dangerous. He's a private eye, a crooked cop, secret agent, and a celebrity pharmacist. Dangerous. That guy is dangerous. 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 Dangerous.
Yeah.
Or did I?
This gal is dangerous-esque. Shelley, dangerous-esque, right? Speaking of strange, Shelley, you've been kind of quiet during the Dark 30. You, other than not wanting initials on your liver, you've been pretty okay with everything else?
Yeah,
you don't have a problem with cementing your head into a microwave?
I do have a problem with that, and I'm glad he's learned from his mistake that he will not be doing that again. I am very offended on behalf of men everywhere that, you know, you don't get more money for having your testicle bitten off. Yeah. I
heard you can sell those for about 30 grand.
Really?
Yes.
Bitten
all
ones.
Bitten off.
Tiny
not bitten off. Sell them.
I mean,
as replacements.
He's got friends in this kind of thing, so he knows.
Wow. Yeah. We'll talk about this after the show. I might be able to spare one at this point.
How many kids do you have?
Scantily clad baristas entitled to serve coffee, a judge rules. And some men are glad about that. Lingerie-wearing baristas have won a battle against the city of Everett, Washington, after a judge ruled that they should be allowed to serve coffee wearing their desired clothing, or lack thereof. Everett, Washington, a big Navy town.
It's so, America.
Yeah, this is America. The baristas have been embroiled in a standoff with the city since August when officials passed two ordinances barring them from serving steaming hot beverages while scantily clad. A group of baristas sued the city claiming the ordinances violated their constitutional rights. And they won. And I say good on them, good on the patrons, because this article is well illustrated, and I could go for a cup of coffee.
Need some caffeine.
Yeah, forget Starbucks. Yeah,
let
there
me
we
see.
Go.
Star what?
Oh, let's see. There you go, Shelley. Oh. Could you go into the coffee business?
You know the listeners can't see what you're looking at, right?
Yeah, theater of the mind.
I don't even know what you're looking at, and I'm like right across from you.
Well, scantily clad baristas.
Okay.
I'm lucky enough I can see through the window.
Yeah, the reflection back there. Actually, firemen lined up outside looking in the window at scantily clad baristas. Dog shoots hunter after another hunter leaves shotgun on the ground. Is that about as clear as mud? Dog shoots hunter after another hunter leaves shotgun on the ground. Could happen to anyone who leaves their shotgun lying around, I guess. The dog stepped on a 12-gauge shotgun and shot a hunter in the back with birdshot pellets. On Wednesday, a 36-year-old man was shot when a hunting dog stepped on the trigger of the shotgun lying about 22 yards away and caused the gun to fire. Authorities say that he's lucky it was a bird shot and that the shotgun was that far away. And the lesson here is don't leave a loaded shotgun lying around.
I thought the lesson was don't name your dog Dick Cheney.
I was trying to make a Cheney reference out of
that.
Thank you.
See, way to strike while the iron is hot.
That's good. That's good stuff there, Christian. So dangerous.
You got a Pee Wee Herman masturbating joke in there, too, just to be timely?
I could throw one in there.
Oh, my goodness. shocking moment, motorist sees body bag. Ugh. Fly out of the back of a hearse. We had to get a Cloris Leachman hearse.
Was Cloris Leachman driving?
Cloris Leachman flies out of the back of a hearse in a body.
Get out.
No, horrified motorists capture video footage of the moment a body bag flew out of the back of a hearse at a busy intersection. That's legit. Kind of reminds me of that Jackass prank. Well, did you see the Jackass hearse prank?
Do you think does it remind you of that because it's exactly the same?
No, this looks. This I think could be legit. Here's a guy on the phone driving the hearse around, and he pulls through an intersection. Turns suddenly in the dash cam of the car sitting at the light across, you see the gurney with a full black body bag on the gurney fly out of the back. It's like I've done this pizza parallel, delivering pizza when the hatchback on the car wasn't closed securely, and I come around the corner and the hatch pops open, and a big bag with like 10 pizzas, one of the institutional delivery bags, falls out of the back of the car. Oops.
I worked at Little Pigs back in the day, and we were doing a catering, and we went over the train tracks on Mills Gap, and we were going, and our cooker, the big iron cooker or whatever, passed us. You're like, what? And it popped off the hitch and just kept going.
With a dead body in it.
A dead pig.
Dead pig. Yeah. All that pork going to waste.
That's
I was on the way home, but...
That is nightmarish stuff right there. Weird, wild stuff. It's been a fun time. Christian, Daniel, I just want to tell you guys thanks, and welcome back anytime. We'll set something up.
I would Shelley, love to.
Thanks for... it's good to see you again. We've been out
it's
of here
good to see
long.
You, too. Hey, maybe we'll do Christmas next week.
Let's do a Christmas show.
Yeah.
We've got to do a Christmas show. Thank you, Joshua P. Warren. Thank you, Mobius. Thank you, Brian. Thank you. There's the other Joshua Dindy. We got Aaron, content friends, listeners, special people. Tune in again soon. You are commanded!